Our help is in the name of the Lord, who has made heaven and earth, who keepeth truth forever, and who never forsaketh the works of his own hands. Amen. Grace, mercy, and peace be unto you from God the Father and the Lord Jesus Christ, in communion with the Holy Ghost. Amen. Congregation, let us sing from Psalter 366, stanzas 1, 2, and 3. Not haughty is my heart, and not lofty is my pride. I do not seek to know the things God's wisdom hath denied. 1, 2, and 3 of 366. Scripture reading for this afternoon hour can be found in Job chapter 1. Job chapter 1. But first, we will make confession with the 12 articles of our Catholic, undoubted Christian faith. I believe in God the Father, almighty maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, His only begotten Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Ghost, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, dead, and buried, he descended into hell. The third day he rose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven and sitteth at the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From thence he shall come to judge the quick and the dead. I believe in the Holy Ghost. I believe in Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, and the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. Job chapter 1. There was a man in the land of Uz whose name was Job, and that man was perfect and upright, and one that feared God and eschewed evil. And there were born unto him 7 sons and 3 daughters. His substance also was 7,000 sheep and 3,000 camels and 500 yoke of oxen and 500 she-asses and a very great household, as so that this man was the greatest of all the men of the east. And his sons went and feasted in their houses, every one his day, and sent and called for their 3 sisters to eat and to drink with them. And it was so, when the days of their feasting were gone about, that Job sent and sanctified them, and rose up early in the morning and offered burnt offerings according to the number of them all. For Job said, "It may be that my sons have sinned and cursed God in their hearts." Thus did Job continually. Now there was a day when the sons of God came to present themselves before the Lord, and Satan came also among them. And the Lord said unto Satan, "Whence comest thou?" Then Satan answered the Lord and said, "From going to and fro in the earth, and from walking up and down in it." And the Lord said unto Satan, "Hast thou considered my servant Job, that there is none like him in the earth, a perfect and an upright man, one that feareth God and escheweth evil?" And then Satan answered the Lord and said, "Doth Job fear God for naught? Hast not thou made an hedge about him, and about his house, and about all that he hath on every side? And thou hast blessed the work of his hands, and his substance is increased in the land. But put forth thine hand now, and touch all that he hath, and he will curse thee to thy face." And the Lord said unto Satan, "Behold, all that he hath is in thy power. Only upon himself put not forth thine hand." So Satan went forth from the presence of the Lord. There was a day when his sons and his daughters were eating and drinking wine in their eldest brother's house. And there came a messenger unto Job and said, "The oxen were plowing and the asses feeding beside them. And the Sabaeans fell upon them and took them away, yea, and they have slain the servants with the edge of the sword. And I only am escaped alone to tell thee." And while he was yet speaking, there came also another, and said, "The fire of God is fallen from heaven, and hath burned up the sheep and the servants, and consumed them, and I only am escaped alone to tell thee." While he was yet speaking, there came also another, and said, "The Chaldeans made out 3 bands, and fell upon the camels, and have carried them away. yea, and slain the servants with the edge of the sword, and I only am escaped alone to tell thee. While he was yet speaking, and there came also another, and said, thy sons and thy daughters were eating and drinking wine in their eldest brother's house. And behold, there came a great wind from the wilderness, and smote the four corners of the house, and it fell upon the young men, and they are dead. And I only am escaped alone to tell thee. And then Job arose, and rent his mantle, and shaved his head, and fell down upon the ground, and worshipped, and said, naked came I out of my mother's womb, and naked shall I return thither. The Lord gave, and the Lord hath taken away. Blessed be the name of the Lord. In all this Job sinned not, nor charged God foolishly. So far the reading of God's holy word. Let us try to pray and ask for the blessing and help of the Lord. Almighty God, who can approach unto thee? For thou art high, and we are of the earth, and thou art holy, and we are wicked. And thou knowest all that lies in the inmost recesses of our hearts. Lord, wilt thou forgive all that is sinful within and without, and do wash and cleanse us in that precious and all-atoning blood of thy dear Son. We may gather in this afternoon again. It is in the way of thy long-suffering. Oh, that it may never in this afternoon testify against us, that thou may remember us because we have read out of thy word when the sons of God did appear before thee, then Satan came also among them. And thou knowest where that he is also in this day, walking to and fro in the earth and going up and down in it. And then there are none of us that are free from the temptations which he does place upon our path. But we have hearts that are so inclined to go in the way wherein he does say. Oh, we beseech thee, Lord, that thou may remember each and every one of us, that thou may indeed put a wall and a fence about us, a hedge about all our ways, for we cannot but fall unless thou dost protect us, and that thou dost keep us from working out all that lives in our hearts. O, grant us true conversion, and that the fear of thy name and may dwell in us mightily from day to day and from moment to moment, that we may be kept by the power of God unto salvation ready to be revealed in the last time, that thou may look upon thy kingdom here below, for it is our lot to live with our children in the last time, in the last dispensation, wherein thou wilt come upon the clouds of heaven to judge the quick and the dead. All things have been now revealed. That work of salvation has been accomplished, and it is only that we wait for that word to be brought unto the ends of the earth. and then shall the end come. Oh, that we, with our children, and may take heed to thy word, and that we may be prepared by thee to meet thee on that great day, when thou shalt separate the sheep from the goats, and when thou wilt put on thy right hand those who delight in thee, and in whom thou hast a delight, and on thy left hand those who have said unto thee, until the end of their life, we will not have this man to reign over us. Oh, awful shall be the sentence, but what a wonder that it shall be for those who feel themselves so unworthy, that thou wilt say, come, ye blessed of my Father, inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the world. Lord, wilt thou cause us to hate sin, cause us to flee from sin, and make thy dear Son to be precious to us, that we may see that we cannot cleanse ourselves, and we cannot rid ourselves of that great evil, that it may become our burden and our bondage, that we may have need and that we may see beauty in that blessed mediator that thou hast sent into the world. Look upon each one of us in all the troubles of this life, because man is born unto trouble as the sparks fly upward. And then every home and every heart and house has its own cross, and it is known unto thee. O wilt thou sanctify these ways unto the hearts and souls of each one of us, that we may not rebel, but that indeed our hearts may be united to thy will, to walk in thy way, and to receive out of thy hand all that thou dost see fit for us and for our children. Cause us to cleave to thee, and not to all of this world. Protect us with our children, and from day to day, from danger and harm, from evil and from sin. And cause them also in their youth to walk in the true and tender fear of thy holy name. Lord, wilt thou look upon all our nations, those that rule and reign over us, in the great nations in which we live, on this continent, Lord, that thou may turn us again in the prosperity of our times, that our hearts, amidst all the evil and sin in which we have steeped ourselves, may be turned again by thy Spirit, and then in a special way those who do sit upon the thrones, those who are in authority over us, that they may receive that impression, that they also have one above them. And when he says go, they must go. And when he says come, they must come. That the laws of our land may be turned about again, and that the unborn may be spared, that thy name may be honored, that thy Sabbath day may no longer be desecrated. Lord, that thou may bring us again to thy footstool and judge us not according to our sins, that false religion, which is abundant in our lands, and may also be put away by thee, also in thy truth. And when thy name is brought in falsehood and in hypocrisy, oh, that thou may thyself bring thy truth into the hearts of those especially, that to bring it on the pulpits, and that it may be sanctified unto the hearers. Remember the mission field and all those that labor thereon. Send servants into thy vineyard. Could it please thee also into the established congregations? Remember those who are called to preach thy word. Stand continually on their right and on their left hand. Remember all handicapped ones, all blind and deaf, dumb and lame. Remember those that are under oppression. Remember those that are in the prisons. Supply for all those that are persecuted, and that thou thyself may stand on the right and on the left. Lord, look upon us with all of our children in mercy, that thy truth also may be preserved among us, and that has been given unto us by our forefathers, preserved by thee through these many generations. Oh, we beseech thee, that it may also have a place in the heart of each one of us, and that we may experience it in our own soul, and that we may receive in this afternoon a blessing out of thy heavenly store. Oh, that thou may open our mouth to speak the wonders of the Lord, and that thou may bless and sanctify thy own word in this day, forgiving all that is sinful, for Jesus' sake. Amen. While your offering is being received, we'll sing from Psalter number 86, all stanzas. Let all the earth Jehovah fear. Let all that dwell both far and near in awe before him stand. For lo, he spake, and it was done, and all with sovereign power begun stood fast at his command. The last collection today is for the school. We announce Marty Vinnie and Janine Anker hope to be united in holy matrimony on Friday, August the 13th at 2 o'clock p.m. Any lawful objections must be brought to the attention of the consistory by August the 3rd. This is the second wedding announcement. Nursery service will be available on Tuesday evening in the Lethbridge Church during the prayer service for the teachers' conference. Psalter 86, all stanzas. Congregation, we ask your attention in this afternoon for the 49th Lord's Day of our Heidelberg Catechism, the 124th question, Lord's Day 49, question 124, which is the third petition? Answer, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven, and that is, grant that we and all men may renounce our own will and without murmuring obey thy will, which is only good, that so everyone may attend to and perform the duties of his station and calling as willingly and faithfully as the angels do in heaven. So far, our Lord's Day, the petition for the fulfillment of the Lord's will, first, knowing the Lord's will, and secondly, obeying the Lord's will. And the petition for the fulfillment of the Lord's will, first, knowing the Lord's will, and second, obeying the Lord's will. It belongs, congregation, to our human nature to have a will. That is not something that belongs to the inanimate creation. It is not something that belongs to the animals, but it is something which belongs unto the rational man. Thus, man has a disposition. He has an inclination of his heart, and he has the power to make a conscious and a deliberate choice for his action, and that is in his will. God also has a will. That is a will which belongs to his divine being. That is a sovereign will. That means it is the will of the king. And it is out of this will, this sovereign will, that is flowing forth all of his actions. Everything according to his will, everything according to his own good pleasure. Man, when he was created with a certain knowledge of the will of God. That knowledge of his will, and that was written on his heart. What the commands of the Lord were, not only that law was written on his heart, but also the very purpose for which the Lord has willed his creation. This man understood and knew. And man had his own will. He had the power of a conscious and a deliberate choice to choose what was good or to choose what was evil. But the Lord has given unto man in his creation a blessed inclination, so that when man was created, as we read, very good by the Lord himself, then it was the highest delight of men that he should choose that thing in his will which was according unto that will of his sovereign Creator. What has happened to man in his fall? In the fall, man did not lose his will. Man retains his will. He still has a will. Thus, he still retains the power of choice in a will. That means that man is not compelled in the choices that he makes, that he is not forced in his choices, but he has his own will. However, that will has now become corrupt. Thus, what is his choice? That inclination, as it was, only toward the good in his creation, is now an inclination only toward the evil after his fall. Thus, that will of man remains free, meaning that man is not lying under compulsion, but is freely making his choice. But the choice which man freely makes is a choice for evil. Man does not choose the good. That is, of course, the spiritual good, for there are natural goods which man is, in the common grace of God, able to choose in this life in order that the Lord may preserve the creation for the bringing in of his kingdom. But man does not choose that spiritual, that true, that highest good. Why not? Because it is foolishness unto him. And what is foolishness unto us is not the thing that our heart chooses. However, not only have we lost then that power to choose that which is truly good, but we have also lost the knowledge of the good. That is, we have lost the knowledge of the will of God. Thus, that which man was created with in paradise, he is not born with in the time anymore. That inclination in his heart is not only a corrupt inclination, but that the understanding of man concerning what is truly the will of the Lord has become darkened. Yes, there are remnants. There are small parts of that knowledge of the will of the Lord left in man. We feel them within ourselves, in our own consciousness and consciences. We see them in the heathen who have never heard of the true God. But those remnants of the knowledge of God's will are lying within us in very much confusion. It has pleased the Lord, in order to the gathering of his church, to reveal his will again, to make it known for the benefit of his creature. How does the Lord do so? We know that in former times, the Lord did speak in different ways to the patriarchs and unto the prophets. When the Lord has established his people as a nation, then the Lord also gave to the children of Israel his law. Thus, that law that was written in our hearts in our creation, and that has become darkened in our fall, in our darkened understanding, the Lord was pleased to give once again unto mankind, to reveal his will, and to show unto his people just how that he does require them to live in this world, not only concerning the outward life, but also the requirements of the holiness of the Lord for his own heart. Thus, the Lord has spoken to the patriarchs and prophets in different ways. The Lord has given his law unto his people as a nation, and that he may show to them what his will was. And at the same time, then he has given unto his people his ceremonial laws, that he has given to them a pattern in the mount, that he has given unto them a tabernacle, that he has given unto them a priesthood. Why? To reveal his will, to show unto man his sovereign good pleasure, what pleased him, that is, that he may forgive the sin of his creature through the sacrifice of his only begotten Son. And therefore he has commanded them to turn from sin. He has commanded them to make confession of sin. He has commanded them to be sorry for sin, to repent of sin, and to bring unto him that sacrifice that was typical of his only begotten Son. Thus, the will of God revealed once again to that darkened understanding of man. That same will is revealed to you and I, is revealed to us and to our children. In what manner? We read in God's word that it is a manner which is a more sure word of prophecy. Thus, young people, when we would consider how that the Lord has appeared and spoken unto Noah, unto Abraham, and so on, and that we can perhaps desire in our heart that the Lord would so appear also in some human form in our day to speak unto us, then the Lord says, nay, but we have a more sure word of prophecy. And what is that? That is the word of God, the Holy Scriptures. And what are the Holy Scriptures? The Holy Scriptures, they are a revelation of his will. Thus, is that not a wonder that the Lord reveals, that he shows unto us what his will is, what his desire is? What is that will? What is that will in very short that we may read from the first pages to the last pages of the Bible, from Genesis to Revelations? And what is that command that comes to us in that revealed will? That is, that the Lord commands us to forsake sin. That is His revealed will. That the Lord commands us to repent. That the Lord commands us to turn and to serve the true and the living God. The Lord says, turn ye from all of your iniquities. That the Lord in that word says to forsake the foolish and live. To turn you from all of your evil ways and to keep my commandments and my statutes. What does the Lord reveal as His will? Then He says, trust not in your own righteousness. He says, trust not, but renounce it. Because your own righteousness, that is before my face, nothing but filthy rags. What does He say? He says, believe my word. Believe me that you were created good. Believe my word that you have fallen, and believe my word how deeply that you have fallen dead in sins and in trespasses. He says, believe my word that there is but one way, and that it is possible to be reconciled unto God again. That it is a way through my only begotten Son. That I do show to you that blood from Genesis to Revelations. Believe me that there is but one name given under heaven among men whereby we must be saved. For by grace are ye saved through faith, and that not of yourselves, it is the gift of God. Oh, what does the Lord reveal as His own will? He reveals as His will what is pleasing to Him. That salvation that He has wrought and worked out in His only begotten Son. That is a salvation we ought to receive. How? As a wretched, as a miserable, as a guilty sinner. Because He says, for I came not to call the righteous, but sinners to repentance. For the Son of Man is come to seek and to save that which is lost. That is His will. Then He says, come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. That is His will. Thus, the Lord reveals His will in those holy scriptures. Is that not to us a great wonder? He reveals that it was His will to elect a people to Himself. And that it was His sovereign will also to reject others. He reveals that it is His will to save sinners by free grace. That it is His will to do this without money and without price. He reveals that it is His will through the fall to glorify Himself. To magnify His own name to all eternity, even above that honor which He could have received by His creature without that fall. Is everything of the will of God revealed? Does the Lord reveal all of His will? He does not. He is God, and He acts as He who is sovereign also in this, to reveal some things and
to keep other things hidden, to conceal some things. That is what we call the secret will of God. Thus he knows, he reveals his commandments. But there are the final outcome of things that he does keep secret from men in general. That is, for example, who are his elect. Then there was one that came to the Lord Jesus and he asked, are there few that be saved? And what did the Lord Jesus answer? He said, strive to enter in at the straight gate. Then it was not for him to search into whether there were many or whether there were few. Then the Lord is concealing things from us which are future. The day, for example, that he is coming. The fact that he is coming. The signs that he has is coming. They are all revealed to us in his word. But of that day and hour know no man. No, not the angels in heaven, neither the Son, but the Father, we read. These things are concealed, and then it is not our place to pry into the secret will of the Lord. We read the secret things belong unto the Lord. But the things which he has revealed belong to us and to our children. Why? Why does he reveal them? That ye may do, it says, according to his law. How much has he revealed? He has revealed as much as is pleasing to him. But he has revealed sufficient that man may know and receive his salvation. Our foolish hearts wish to pry into many things which have not to do with that thing for which we must principally be concerned. And the Lord has revealed in his word everything that is necessary for us to know for the salvation of our own soul. And yet, our fathers, and they speak here also of the station and calling of our life. That they say, also in our station, in our calling, we must follow the Lord's will. If we are to follow the Lord's will in this life, then it is also, of course, necessary for us to know what that will is. Do we desire this? Do you desire this, young people? When you make decisions, important decisions in your life, do you also bend your knees in your secret chamber and ask the Lord, wilt thou show to me thy will? And wilt thou lead me in the way that thou wilt have me to go? Thus it behooves us to seek that we might know what that will of the Lord is in order that we may follow it. Moses, he says, if thy presence go not up with us, carry us not up hence. And if we will walk contrary to the will of the Lord, then we will be without the presence of the Lord. Is that possible? Is that possible that we can know the will of the Lord in our station and calling in this life? Yes, that is possible. You say, how? How can we know what the will of the Lord is? In the first place, we may know what that will is by his word. That is, that the Lord never calls us to do what is contrary to those laws and those statutes and those principles which he has established in his holy word. Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego had to make a decision under the demand of the king. There was for them no question what that will of the Lord was. Because to bow, that is to fulfill the request of that heathen king, would have been directly contrary to the precepts and the command of the Lord in his holy word. Daniel had no question what he had to do. The moment that he heard what that a king had demanded. And he went before his open window once again upon his knees three times a day to beseech the favor and the blessing of the Lord. Thus, in the first place, we may know that it is not the Lord's will in the station and the calling of our life when what we presume to do is against the precepts of his word. Thus, there are so many, many things that now fall away, that we may ask ourselves honestly and uprightly whether it is according to the holy word of God. However, we know, of course, that that word of God is not written in a way wherein all our circumstances of this life are clearly laid out for us. Thus, there will come circumstances and decisions which we must make, which are in the first place in accordance with the principles and the statutes of that holy word of God. And yet we must make a decision. And we might ask ourselves, how may I now know what the will of the Lord is for me? And then we must ask for prayer and watchfulness of all of the providences of the Lord in our life. The Lord, he is sovereign. Thus, he is guiding everything in this world. And there is nothing, not the smallest circumstance, that is outside of his power. How does the Lord make his secret will to be known? We know that secret will when it takes place. Thus, the Lord, he is bringing his hidden will to light in his deeds. Thus, is it now our practice to watch also carefully the leadings of the Lord in our life? Do we believe that it is the Lord who is opening and closing those doors in our life? Gideon asked for a sign. And that is possible, but we have to be very, very careful. It is true that the Lord sometimes condescends to make his will known in a very, very special way as to Gideon. However, the Lord is not obliged to form himself to our desires, to our thoughts. And thus we must be very, very careful that we do not lay for ourselves a stumbling block in seeking a very special sign from the Lord. And to, as it were, prescribe unto the Lord how that he must show us, how that he must convince us. The Lord knows much better than we how that we can be fully convinced of the will of the Lord. And he is a surprising God who, despite all our unworthiness, when it is truly our desire that we say, Lord, I have a desire that I may walk according to thy will. Wilt thou show it unto me? Wilt thou lead me in thy truth? Wilt thou lead me in thy path? Then when the Lord has placed such a desire in our heart, then the Lord is also pleased to convince a person what his own will is. Ramsbottom, he has written a little booklet called Divine Guidance. We also have that in our book room, which is very worthy of a little of our time. And he mentions trying to know what the will of the Lord is by now taking the Holy Scriptures, blindly opening those Scriptures, and placing my finger somewhere and receiving in such a way the knowledge of the will of God. We must be extremely, extremely careful with such things. We do not deny that there are times when in the desire that a person may have to truly know the Lord's will, that it has come about that when they have opened those Holy Scriptures, and that the Lord has directed them to such and such a place to give them an answer to all their questions. We do not deny this. But then it was not necessarily their intention to seek the will of the Lord. And we must be extremely careful about these things. How would that be when we so said this to ourselves and the Lord would direct us to such a place as we read that Judas went and hanged himself? No, then we must seek the will of the Lord according to his own precepts, and according to the meaning that the Lord has, by his Spirit, given the inspired writers to write his word. It is a wonder when we may have truly a close life with the Lord. We read of Samuel that he did not yet know the Lord. the Lord spoke to him, but he did not realize that it was the Lord's voice. Later, then he came to know how that it was that the Lord spoke unto him. Thus, when God's children, when they may live a life indeed that is close to him, then the Lord, he is applying with power his own word in order that they may know his will. David, when he would go up against the Philistines, sought to know from the Lord the way that he had to go, and he asked him, and the Lord gave him to know it. But James says, ye ask and ye receive not, because ye ask amiss to consume it upon your lust. Or why is it truly that we ask the Lord's will? Do we ask the Lord's will in order that we may be able to say to my neighbor that I have received now direction from the Lord? Or do we ask the Lord's will because indeed it is our desire to follow and to walk only in that way that the Lord will have us to go? Let us sing. Psalter 391. We'll sing all stanzas. When morning lights the eastern skies, O Lord, thy mercy show. On thee alone my hope relies. Let me thy kindness know. All stanzas of 391.
Our second thought, obeying the Lord's will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Why must we pray, congregation, that God's will must be done? Is God's will not always done? And is there anything that a man can do, even all the enemies of the Lord, that can prevent his will from being done? That is not actually a prayer that God would accomplish his will, but that we may be brought into agreement with that will. That is, grant that we and all men may renounce our own will and without murmuring obey thy will, which is only good, that so everyone may attend to and perform the duties of his station and calling as willingly and faithfully as the angels in heaven. It is now one thing to know his will. It is another thing to agree with his will. It is another thing to obey his will. If we will obey his will, then, as our fathers say, we must renounce our own will. What does that mean, to renounce? When I renounce something, then I give it up. Thus, if I will obey his will, then of necessity I must renounce my own will. Why? Can we not do both his will and our will? Well, those two wills, they are by nature opposed to one another. Because our will, that is not inclined anymore to the will of God. What have we done in our father Adam? We have taken the throne. We have wanted the superiority. We have wanted the sovereignty. And the Lord says, no, I am the sovereign. Thus, our will that is opposed to the Lord's will, it does not need only to be improved. It does not only need to be inclined. It doesn't only need to be bent. No, it is a will that needs to be renounced. It needs to be given up. It is possible that a man obey the will of God, that he give up the will of God, that he give up his own will and obey the Lord's will, and yet not be in himself in agreement with the will of the Lord. How is it possible for us, having our own will, to reject what actually in our heart we accept? How is it possible for us to truly despise what in our heart actually we value? How can I renounce that thing which I actually espouse in my heart? Then there is a contradiction. Thus, it is possible that a man really does not agree with the will of the Lord, and yet in an outward way that he renounce his own will and that he does the Lord's will. That is what we are called by him to do. You say, how much easier is that now for the true children of the Lord? Because they have a heart that agrees with that will of the Lord.
only that were so. Actually, that is part true, is it not? Because that is a people who have not one will, but two wills. They have still an old will that is inclined to all evil, that is against the will of the Lord, and they now have a new man. And that new man also has a new will. And thus within them, there is a struggle. Within their own heart, there is a warfare. And there is still so much of the will of that old man that remains and that is in opposition to the will of the Lord. Jonah was not so ready to go. At the command of the Lord, he knew the will of the Lord, but Jonah needed to be compelled by the Lord. And now it is the greatest blessing when the Lord gives in the life of his own children that that new man may supersede and that old man that he may die more and more, and more he may be given to come to agree with the will of the Lord. We see that in Isaac. When he would bless Esau, but all the providences of the Lord beyond his control, then he was brought to pronounce that blessing upon Jacob. And in the end, what does he say? He says, yea, and he shall be blessed. Oh, do you see, young people, the happiness now of the children of God? And that was not only with Isaac, but that is that church of all ages and then all over the world. Because by nature, we are rebellious against that will of the Lord, especially when there is affliction, especially when there is trouble. And the wicked, they have no rest. That is what the Bible says. There is no rest for the wicked. What does the Lord do? Then he is uniting. See it in Job. Was it all against his will? Oh, it is all against his will. It is all when it goes such a way against our will. But what a peace. What a peace is in the heart of that man in the end. And when he can lay everything in the hands of the Lord. And when he can say that everything that the Lord does is good. We all have trouble in our life. That is not belonging only to the world. That is the common lot of every man in this world. And what has then the world? When they have all that same troubles that you and I have to experience, and there is nothing in our heart but rebellion against that will of the Lord. But now to be content under it and to receive all this, thus not only to obey when my heart is in disagreement, but actually to have my heart brought under, that I may truly come into agreement with it. Oh, see how the martyrs have gone to the cross. Then you may see how that the Lord gives a special strength to say, Lord, thy thoughts, they are higher than our thoughts, and thy ways, they are higher than our ways. And then it is only when our heart is so united to the will of the Lord that we can do as our fathers say, obey without murmuring and without murmuring obey thy will, which is only good. How do you obey your mother and father, boys and girls? How do you obey? Do you obey? We hope you obey. But how do you obey? Do you obey with complaining? Do you obey with murmuring so that you are a grief to your father or to your mother? The Lord does not only require obedience, but the Lord also requires a willing obedience, a cheerful obedience, and that is, parents, that training that we are called to bring up our children in. Already when they are very small, that they do our will, not their will. Yes, they have a will. We find that out very, very soon after that they are born. But what does the Lord say? Train up a child in the way he should go, and when he is old, he will not depart from it. Children that rebel against the will of their parents, they also become adults, and then they rebel against the will of authority, and they rebel against the will of God. To instruct our children to renounce their own will and without murmuring obey my will as a father, as a mother, that is for them instruction in the ways of this life. On the other hand, we always must be careful how we do this for the Lord. He says, provoke not your children to wrath, lest they be discouraged. Thus, all in love, gentleness, and firmness. Thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Congregation, did the Lord ever unite our heart with his will? Give us to bow, give us to submit under his will. That is a blessed, that is an easy life. Think of a Ruth. Or when she may receive a new will. And then all the affliction, everything can be left behind. And then she has only that she desires to fulfill another will. You say, how can this hard heart? Oh, it is a will. It is a strong will. Yes, that is what we carry in our heart, a very, very strong will. Not something that we ourselves are even so able to overcome. But did not the Lord become too strong for a Manasseh? Did the Lord not become too strong for a Saul of Tarsus? Moses did not want to go the Lord's way either. We hope to see that, the Lord willing. But the Lord, he is inclining. That is so also in the spiritual life of God's children, because the will of the Lord, that is without money and without price. But that is not our will. That is now what a man's heart needs to be won over for. And how much work has the Lord not to do to so win a man over for this? What did the Lord say, congregation? What did Peter say unto the Lord? Peter said, Lord, depart from me, because I am a sinful man. Was that Peter's will? Was that Peter's desire? Did he really desire that the Lord would depart from him? Oh, no, not at all. not at all the love that was born in the heart of that man for the Lord Jesus Christ. He would never want him to depart from him. And yet that is what he said. Depart from me, for I am a sinful man. Oh, what does he do? He says, Lord, if that is thy will, if it is impossible for thee to receive thy honor, to receive thy glory, if it is impossible for thee to remain holy, and that is thy will, when thou art so near to such one as I, then thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. And so he may bow. What do you think that the Lord's way is for such a people? Will he ever cast that people away from himself? To their condemnation, he will never do it. But he will bring them. He will bring them in holiness unto himself. And he will also incline all their will, that they also may desire, as our fathers say here, that they may perform their duties in their station and calling as willingly and faithfully as the angels do in heaven. Who can imagine what that is for the angels? They have a will that is inclined only, as it was in our creation, only to follow the will of the Lord. And that is now what that true church may look forward to. Because one day in that old man is going to die, and then what is going to be left? And then that one will that desires to will as God wills, that will be left. And then they are going to receive, congregation, all their desire. That little rest, that little peace. Oh, there is a rest that belongeth unto the children of God. And they may experience that rest in their will coming in agreement with the will of the Lord by just moments in this life. And that is so good. Even when everything is against me, oh, to be able to so agree and lay everything in the hands of the Lord. There is nothing so good in this life. And that is now what they look forward to. And when that old man is done away, and they will have completely renounced all of their own will, and without murmuring, with only delight and enjoyment and imperfection, to do his will, which is only good. Amen. O Lord of heaven and of earth, how wretched that we are. For in us dwells so much rebellion, and we need to be kept moment by moment. And our hearts need to be inclined by thee. But oh, for that day, and that old man dies, and that new will may receive its desire. Look on us and all thy children in mercy. Oh, give their hearts to long for it, and that it may also be practiced in this life. Wilt thou bring us safely to our homes? Remember us in the week to come. We lay before thee our brother elder who will travel in this week far away to the mission field once again. Be thou on his right and on his left hand.
Wilt thou look upon us as we gather with our administrators and teachers in our school and all the schools? Lord, that thou may be in our midst, on our right and on our left, and give us a good days to gather in thy favor. Look on the consistory, when we must travel again also at the end of this week. Strengthen for our labors, but also for the labors here amongst our flock. Keep us on every side. Bless thy word for Jesus' sake. Amen. 337, 2, 3, and 4. I thirst for thy commandments, Lord, and for thy mercy press my claim. O, look on me and show the grace displayed to all who love thy name. 2, 3, and 4 of 337. receive the blessing of the Lord and go in peace. The Lord bless thee and keep thee. The Lord make his face shine upon thee and be gracious unto thee. The Lord lift up his countenance upon thee and give thee peace. Amen. Blessing.